Peace, party people. Welcome back to episode 144 of Where My Killer Tape At. I bring the big homie Corey from the This Is It podcast channel on YouTube. Old time comrade. He comes onto the show, and guess what we're going to do? We're going to rate the first six Marvel Disney Plus shows. Yes! Get ready for the debate. Get ready for the beefs. Check it out. Killer Tape At, B. Peace, party people. Welcome back to Where My Killer Tape At. I got a special guest, a brother I've known for, man. I haven't seen this brother in decades, and I've known him for a while. We had some good times. We're going to have some good times again. Shout out to the big homie, Corey, from This Is It podcast.
All right. Thank you, man. Now, look, man, I'm so excited to be here. I'm really glad you invited me on this show and to talk about this wonderful stuff we got here, y'all. Is this going to be a good discussion?
It's going to be, it's going to be, some of y'all are going to start beef. Some of y'all going to probably get divorced. Some of y'all are going to break up with y'all best friends with this debate. We are going to rank, and we're not going to rank Ms. Marvel, everybody, because as of this recording, there's one more episode to go left in Ms. Marvel, but we're going to rank the other six Marvel Disney Plus shows. Mm-hmm. That being said, I want to reference one podcast I just started listening to called Yub Nub, and it's a podcast for lovers of Star Wars, for fans that really love Star Wars. And in it, they said something that really like made me think about it. They said that these series, these Disney Plus series, whether it's The Mandalorian or whether it's Loki, they're really extended director's cuts. Even though each episode is directed by different people, really, if you look at it, a lot of them are like 38 to 40 minutes long. And if you put them together, it's like a 4-hour movie. Mm. So it's like, it's just kind of like Zack Snyder, the Snyder Cut. It's like 4 hours and some change. And it's really what it is. So that's why there's character development. There's more character development and all that. So when you think about the series, to me, I don't like to call them, because they say it's made for TV. And I'm kind of like, it comes off like a director's cut movie. So plus, especially with the budget. So my point is real. When I tell people to go watch these shows and they might see the first episode and they might not like it, you should wait until you get to like the fourth or fifth episode for you to say you like the series or not. Because that's like watching a movie for the first 15 minutes and all night saying, I don't like it. You got to let the movie flesh out first. So do you agree with that, Corey?
Oh man, no doubt. I mean, you gotta let it breathe. You gotta give it time to let the story build. You can never go into a movie and look at the first 10 minutes of a movie and automatically like it's gonna be good or not. Nah, you gotta give it time.
That's true indeed.
I agree with that.
True indeed. So we're gonna start off. We're gonna have Corey go first. We're gonna start off with our number six pick. Well, his number six pick and then my number six pick. So go ahead, sir.
All right. So I did originally make a list. But I have changed it up now that I've been doing a deep dive into all of these series. So my number six, and I want to get a little slack on this, though. But okay. I mean, maybe not from you, but my number six is Moon Knight. My number six is Moon Knight, but I feel the reason why it's number six is not because it's bad. It's just number six of these series.
Got you.
I really enjoyed Moon Knight. I really enjoyed the series. I think Oscar Isaac is crushing it in the series. I love how they started off with Stephen Grant. I love how you continually build through the episodes, getting the revealing of who Stephen is. I love the dynamic between Mark and Stephen. So just really everything about this show I do like, but when it ranks amongst the others, that's why it's just number six on my list.
No, I feel you. And it's funny because as I go through this, I'm like, oh, this one is number five, number, you know, and I'm like, man, I'm not saying that it sucks. And when I tell people, they're like, we're not saying that it sucks. It's that there's only six and a half, there's only seven out now. So you right. can, you know, so it doesn't mean that it's trash, even though my number six, I feel is trash. But, you know, if there was like 20, I could be like, yo, it's number 20, right? But I will say that compared to the other ones, Moon Knight is very different. Mm-hmm. Oscar Isaac just really fucking, he really hit the acting. He carried this shit.
Yeah.
He really carried this shit.
That's my thing. Like, Oscar Isaac is killing it in this role, and his dynamic between, well, I guess himself, but between Mark and Steven is phenomenal. I mean, his performance is the reason why this series did so well. I think the reason why it lands at number six for me mm-hmm. is because the weakness in the villain. It's not that Ethan Hawke is not killing it, because Ethan Hawke is Ethan Hawke.
Yeah.
He does what Ethan Hawke does. I just don't think they carried the story well enough. It just wasn't strong enough for me in this series, so that by the time we get to the end when they're doing the fight, it's just not as impactful. That's why this landed at number six. But Ethan Hawke is killing it. Oscar Isaac is killing it. But the story of the villain mm-hmm. with Oscar Isaac's performance just doesn't hold up. So that's why I landed at number six. Oh, and don't get me wrong, Layla in this is great.
She's
fire. Oh,
you know what? You know what's crazy? Like, she's not the type of woman I would date, but I was attracted mm-hmm. to her. I was like, yo, I was like, yo, I like her. Like, I would date her. Like, I was like, and it's funny because his alter ego was like in love with her. Like he, mm-hmm. like his alter ego, Steven, fell in love with her. And I was like, yeah, mm-hmm. I would have fell in love with her too. I will say this about Moon Knight is he doesn't have an arch in number. The villain from Ethan Hawke played is from like 1980s, like way back in the day. Mm-hmm. Really have like an arch nemesis other than the person they mentioned them in the series. I can't remember his name. The guy that kind of like set him up to get killed. That was you would consider him, I guess, his arch nemesis because he's the one that set him up. But he killed them off long ago. So So he doesn't. And you know what? Marvel is kind of slipping on the having an arch villain, even though I don't think you need to have an arch villain to have a show or a movie. I really don't think you need to have one. I know that's a trope for superheroes. And I know like when you're writing a movie, you got to have a protagonist and an antagonist, right. But I don't think it has to necessarily be like a villain. But again, Oscar Isaac did his thing. Mohamed Diab, the director, he's someone I'm not familiar with, but I'm going to start looking for his stuff from now on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know? Me too. It was good. I mean, and that's the thing. I'm telling folks, look, just because it lands at number six does not mean I hate it. That's just where it lands for me on this list.
And I'm going to say this. My number six was WandaVision, right? My number six was WandaVision. And like I said earlier, I know you liked it. Like I said earlier,
I liked it.
Like if there was 20 Marvel Disney Plus show, it would be number 20, right? Because I was like, maybe if because this is what happened, the pandemic hit, the first one dropped,
right?
WandaVision was supposed to be released right before Doctor Strange was released,
correct?
But so it wasn't supposed to be the first one. I don't know what happened for them to say. Because they could have done Winter Soldier, or they could have done Winter Soldier or Hawkeye, because it kind of like really it really talks about Endgame, so they could have done those, you know.
True.
But reason I don't know. Hopefully one day Kevin Feige admits they'll drop tell us why they did it that way, because they released Doctor Strange like a year or some change after the fact. So, and just an FYI, if you have not seen Doctor Strange, you have to watch WandaVision.
That's true.
But I wasn't a fan of it. I know for a lot of people that like love television, they were like, oh, you know, the reason why I kept watching it, because I was going to stop watching, is because I'm a big fan of Monica Rambeau, the original Captain Marvel. Yes. You know, I was a big fan, and I wanted to see how she got her powers. And I did enjoy episode 4 when they show what happened when people. That's the first time they showed what happened to people when it came back from the snap.
Yes.
That was the first time they showed it.
That was my favorite scene in that whole series. I mean, when Monica wakes up in the hospital and they're showing everything from the perspective of people coming back from the snap and it was chaos.
Yes. Yo. Yes. Yes.
That was dope.
Yes, that was really, I was like, bro, you know. And if they had done another, like, oh, we're in 1980s TV, I'd have stopped it right there. I'd have stopped it. I'm like, I'm done. I'm like, I'm done. I'm done, yo. You know what I mean? Like, I'm done. You know what I'm saying?
So you was not feeling the TV thing with the, you was not feeling that at all. That's
I see why they did it, because there's this, I can't believe I forgot his name. There's this writer, Tom King. His name is Tom King, K-I-N-G. And he wrote, I highly recommend it, and you could buy it in 2 volumes, the Vision story. He wrote this dope Vision story where Vision creates a family. He creates a family of androids, and they live They live in New Jersey. It's real wild. It's wild. And Tom King also wrote... He also wrote a story, Mr. Miracle, for DC. Highly recommend that. Highly recommend that. I will say, trigger warning, there's like suicide in the Tom King Mr. Miracle story. There is a suicide since you open it up. But other than that, it's a really good fucking story. Tom King wrote, and they kind of based it on, he was trying to make this idyllic nuclear family from the 1950s. So it's kind of based on that. I just wasn't feeling it. Like, I thought it was going to be like that story, but I just wasn't feeling it.
See, I did not know about that comic book series, but I knew about the comic book series House of M. And I know that in House of M, Wanda creates this alternate reality because she was dealing with the grief of her children.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, when she was dealing with Wiccan and Speed, the grief of them, of course, Wiccan and Speed aren't here. So they flipped the story and they made her grieve Vision. So in that sense, I was like, okay, I know what's going to happen, because now that she's grieving Vision's death, she's going to create this alternate reality about Vision. So I was on the ride with that because of this House of M comic. But I know a lot of people coming into that were like, what the fuck is this? You know, like, why am I watching Leave It to Beaver and I Love Lucy?
But I mean, and my thing is, if you're going to do, I see what you're saying. I see what you're saying. If you was going to do House of M, right, you got to have mutants. That's why I didn't like the Logan movie, because I was like, if you're going to do Old Man Logan, Brent, because the Old Man Logan story is probably the best Wolverine story of all time. If you're going to do Old Man Logan, then you need to bring the Avengers. You need to bring everybody in that shit. The Fantastic Four, everybody got to be in it for you to do it well. You know what I mean? That was my issue with that. You know, I was like, damn, like, if you're going to, you know, and that's.
You didn't like Logan?
I didn't like Logan.
Oh, my God.
I didn't like. And look. If you read Old Man Logan, you are going to be like, I see why you don't like it.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
See, I haven't read all of Old Man Logan.
No. Just the first story, the original story,
Hulk with him.
Yeah, with Incredible Hulk. Not the one where he comes into our universe, Marvel 616, and he lives with us and he's in the X-Men because they kill off the regular Wolverine and they bring him in. No, I'm talking about the original story that was in Wolverine, and then like it was like Wolverine Annual number 12. Mm-hmm. Which you can buy now by Larry Niven and the other dude. You could buy it in a hardcover set. I don't know. Do you have a comic side?
I did.
Okay.
And that's when I was reading a lot, but I do not now. So, I try to get it in where I can fit in, going to local comic book stores and stuff like that. So. But Comixology is where it's at, though, for real.
Yeah. But, I mean, I mean, I'm not saying it's going to change your mind about the Logan movie, but when you read Old Man Logan, the original storyline, you're going to be like, oh, I see why he don't like it. Because everybody's like, oh, you read the original storyline. Like, yeah, I can see why you don't like it. You know what I'm saying? So, because you read the original story, it's really, like, it's fucked up. It's like, you're like, it's like, you're like, bro, it cannot get any worse than this. And then the Old Man Hawkeye is even more bleak. He's even more like,
I have not read that, but I've heard about that.
Yeah, Old Man Hawkeye is good too. Like, because it takes place before the events, 5 years before Old Man Logan, and it explains why Hawkeye goes blind. Like, yeah, it's crazy. Like,
okay. Oh, I gotta read that.
I mean, look, you should read Old Man Logan. You should read it just for the fact that Spider-Man has several baby mamas. That's why you should read Old Man Logan. For the fact that he got mad baby mamas and he don't pay support. That's the reason why you should. That's why you should read that, just that alone. Like,
I did not know.
Yeah. Peter Parker gets it in with his sister too. So you just for that.
Well, this is let the game air, so I guess it's free reign for everybody, though. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Okay, yeah, I definitely can read it.
I'm talking to Parker, brother. You know what I mean? Like,
clearly not, yo.
He's raw dogging it everywhere, son.
I know. Oh man. Well, I mean, look, I understand why you have it at number six if you really wasn't feeling the stories and the TV shows. I loved it. I loved it. I really enjoyed the direction that show had on the reality that she was trying to create for herself. There's so many things I liked about the show. Like you said, I like Monica Rambeau as Photon or Spectrum, depending on, you know, which one they're going to go with. But Tiana Paris is killing it. I think she's fucking amazing in that role, man. I mean, this is just why I liked it, because they introduced so many people that I was really interested in. Like, I knew about Agatha Harkness a little bit in the comics, but I love Catherine Hahn, I think, is her portrayal. I
she's dope. She's a dope. She's a comedian.
Yeah.
She's funny shit.
Spot on.
She does. Yeah. So she's, I heard they're going to give her a show.
That's right.
Yeah, because she can act. Her other stuff that anything that she's in, you gotta watch it.
Yeah, yeah.
You gotta watch it.
Actually, it's called Agatha House of Harkness is
yes.
what the new show is gonna be called. So,
yes.
Yeah. I'm excited to see that. So okay, so you got this at number six. Yeah. I got Moon Knight at number six. Okay.
So who's at number five? Who's at number five?
All right. My number five, it originally was higher on the list. But once I started doing a deep dive, it went down to number five. And I got to say it, it's What If.
Okay.
My What If is number five. And okay. I loved What If. And I tried to figure out why I made it to number five. But I'm going to say the things I did like. I loved seeing each episode. Every episode was freaking awesome in this multiverse world.
Gotcha.
Jeffrey Wright, the Watcher, fucking fire. My favorite episode was the zombie episode. And of course, the episode where Ultron, I really loved that because I was like, yo, now we get to see Ultron in his glory, for real, for real. And seeing the Watcher break his code and recruiting Captain Carter, T'Challa, Gamora, and Killmonger, and Thor, and all them, I thought that was great. But the reason why this fell down to list number five was just because I was looking at the overall series as a whole. How many episodes did I really love that I knew that I could go back and watch over and over and over again? And I just had less episodes out of the series. I had like three that
okay.
I could really watch over and over again. But I understand those other episodes were meaningful for the later episodes, but I really enjoyed those later four, five, and six episodes when the Watcher really got involved. That show just went on a serious run. So that's why I was so much higher on the list. But once I had to do the analyzation, went down to number five. So there you go.
Got you. Because And my thing with What If is that there were some episodes I didn't really care for.
Mm-hmm.
There were some episodes that I'm like, yeah, I'm good. I don't. There's some episodes that I watch a T'Challa episode all the time.
Yeah,
I love that episode. I watch the two Ultron episodes all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And then I like the zombie. So
yes,
I was like,
oh, yes.
It was really dope. So I was like, kind of made it funny.
Mm-hmm,
so,
yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
My number five is before What If I talked about how they stacked the deck with it. They bought everybody. And so it's kind of, and I think the analogy I made is if we play a basketball game and I bring my friends, and you bring five NBA players. You know, right. Of course you go. You know, like of course you know, like yeah, it's like everybody's gonna come see the game because they there. Exactly. You know what I mean? So like, exactly. But there were some episodes that I felt like I could have done without it. And then there were some episodes that I was like I said, the T'Challa episode I watch all the time. The Ultron. Even though I had an issue with how quickly he killed Thanos, but that's neither here nor there. You know, so dude, like
me too. I'm just like, what? Really? That's all we need to do in Lord, I'm forgetting the name.
Endgame? Yeah, that's all.
That's all we need to do. Come on. Yeah, you're right, man. It was one of those situations where it was a lot. It was an all-star cast. So it was like, oh, wow, I got to watch this because it's an all-star cast. I really did love the T'Challa episode as well because it's voiced by my man Chadwick Boseman. And I love that. They got him voicing it before he passed away. So I thought that was dope. You there, Danny?
I'm there.
Okay. No. You're good, brother. You're good.
So you were saying?
Yeah, I was saying that with the situation with What If, I do love the T'Challa episode as well because they had it originally voiced by my man Chadwick Boseman.
Yeah, so it was his last joint. The three episodes he was in, those were his last joints that he did.
Yes, yeah.
So wow.
I was so moved by that, listening to that. I was like, wow, man, that's my man right there actually voicing it before he unfortunately passed away. Shout out to the late Chadwick Boseman.
Khonshu was a little bitch in the comic book too, you know, so the character, I felt like they didn't really flesh out the story like they should have, you know, the ending was kind of like episode six really didn't do it for me, and then they waited too long to reveal the third altar. I was like, why did it take you so long to do that? Everybody kind of knew. You know,
mm-hmm.
So
yeah, you make a really good point. I felt that. See, this is the thing. I love what Disney is doing, bringing these series to us, but they have to stop dealing with this six series formula because something like this Moon Knight, we needed another 2-3 more episodes to flush because it did feel like episodes 5 and 6 were really cramming in a lot of stuff. So I agree with you on that.
Yeah, because I think what they is they do the climax at the end of episode 4 and then episode 5. So they kind of like tell you everything by then. And it's kind of like, so why we need another episode? So they could have kept. But yeah. At the same time, I still feel like Oscar Isaac carried the entire, you know, like, yeah. I really think that he did. And I was like, the reason why I'm such a Marvel head is because in the comic, that's why I like the Netflix series a lot, because it was the cast of characters that really helped build the show. And I know for Netflix, they had 13 episodes per season. I know that's a different story, and they were all 50-minute episodes, so they had more time. But I want to, if you're going to, you know, for every character, I want to know who their peoples are, and I want to get to know them. You know what I mean?
Right.
I felt like I didn't get a chance to do that here. So I still enjoyed it. I still enjoyed it. I loved it. I think I watched these episodes 2 or 3 times easily. Yeah, so but I really enjoyed it. So that was my number 5. So by the way, for my listeners there, and to you too, Aaron did an Avengers run. I fights the Avengers. And he takes Thor's hammer, Iron Fist is Iron Fist. And
what?
Yeah, he takes that.
Wow.
Yes.
I've got to read that because first now I'm thinking like, how does he even get Thor's hammer in the first place? I mean, but still, I mean, wow. This is dope.
And it's one volume. I want to say it's the Jason Aaron one. I want to say it was volume 6, I think. I could be wrong. It's called Age of Khonshu. That's the name of the series, Age of Khonshu.
Okay.
So it's six.
Oh, yeah.
It's six.
Okay.
Six issues. So, yeah. Deal with.
Okay.
Yes. Oh. And then, a really good one that gets into his multiple. Of Brian Michael Bendis. He did a where Moon Knight goes to California. In Spider-Man. So
really,
after what you wow. do this, like, all right, cool. I mean, Wolverine's like, you should kill him. You know, so it's like it's real, like ill. He's the dude that created Miles Morales. So, yeah.
Wow. You know, I'm glad that you touched on the DID, the dissociative identity disorder for Mark Spector. I really do appreciate that because somebody like myself, when I was originally into Moon Knight and reading it, I thought it was just multiple personality, but it is different. So I'm
hold on. What did you?
Because it is something different.
You got what did you say? I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'm glad that you touched on the dissociative identity disorder, the DID, because when I originally went into Moon Knight, I thought it was multiple personalities as well, but it is not. It is something totally different. So I was glad that you touched on that. So that was good.
Correct me if I'm wrong, Corey. I used to call it multiple personality disorder. They since updated it a couple of years, not about 8 years ago. I could be wrong. It used to be multiple personality and they changed the name. So
you're probably more than likely absolutely correct because most of the time, you know, when people think of multiple personality, they say schizophrenic, you know, right? They got schizophrenia. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, it's a different way of identifying it now. So, yeah. All right, man. That's what's up. Yo, I'm excited now. Like, we get to the meat and potatoes and stuff now, yo.
So, what's your number four?
I had this lower, but it went higher on the list. My number four is Soldier. That's my number four.
Okay.
Falcon Winter Soldier. Yeah, Falcon Winter Soldier. I really like this series. I mean, just the way it started off. Yeah, I mean, it started off right with Falcon. You know, I really enjoyed this because you got to finally see Falcon be Falcon and understand, like, why he's Avenger, why he's so good, why he's been a phenomenal staple in the comics all these years. So you see him really doing his thing. He's fighting the jets, he's flying through all kinds of stuff. I was like, yo, this action scene is off the chain. And I loved the dynamic between Falcon, which Anthony Mackie and Sebastian Stan. So that whole dynamic reminded me of like 48 Hours or this Rush Hour type teaming up. I thought it was great. There's so much about this episode that I like. US Agent, I thought that was great. Oh man, John Walker seeing that downward turn. Mm-hmm. And him, you know, getting the serum and now becoming more of a, you know, kind of a rogue agent in a way. I thought Daniel Brühl as Baron Zeke. Oh man, he took it.
He took it, bro. I did it, and you know, I don't even like him in the comic books. I'm loving this dude. Like he really came out. Like, I don't know if it's his acting, because I think I seen him in another movie, a Netflix movie. Mm-hmm. He was in a Netflix movie with it's supposed to be like the prequel to that movie about the monster that attacks New York.
Oh, you talking about Godzilla?
No. The one with the shaky camera. The one that was like, oh, it was at a party. Actually, like, oh shit, it's monster attacking New York.
And Cloverfield.
Cloverfield, yeah. So they did a prequel and he was in it. And I was great. But I was like, that's the only other thing I've seen him in. Mm-hmm. So I was like, so when he did this thing, I'm sorry, go ahead. Would you want your soldier?
Oh, no, you good. So let me see. What else? Oh, John, I loved actually my favorite scene in Winter Soldier, and this is maybe your favorite scene too, but the scene when the Dora Milaje show up and John Walker puts his hand on her.
Son,
that's my favorite.
That's my favorite episode, though. That's my favorite episode. Like, I'm like,
mine too.
Because they did a lot of fighting in that episode.
Yes. That's my favorite, yo.
They did a lot of fighting, yeah. Like, I was like, bruh.
Yo, it was so dope. Seeing that whole scene go down where he puts his hand on her and she's like, oh, as soon as he did it, I was like, oh, he done fucked up.
But it's son, over son. It was in the next episode where he was talking to his man and he was like, yo, we got our fucking asses beat, son. And I was like,
yeah. I thought that was great,
I was like, damn. But the thing is, if I was sitting, they didn't serve you, though.
Right.
They did serve you, though.
Yeah, they did. And then, what else?
Everybody was here that scene, it better be you.
Oh man, I love that scene, man.
Say something.
What else? And also when Sebastian Stan tried to jump in for a hot second, and she like took his arm off with like two little presses, like she like hit him, and then his arm fell off.
Yeah.
Oh man, that was cool.
I was like, yeah.
It was. I really loved a lot about this. Let's not forget about Sharon Carter. So I really loved her storyline. Even though I pegged it early on, I was like, she is the power broker. She's the power broker. So of course, later on, they reveal it. But honestly, and I don't know about you, I think she's a Skrull mm-hmm. because she seems to act very different than the Sharon Carter I used to know. Even though I understand why she's different, I think she's a Skrull and she's going to show up mm-hmm. later on in Secret Wars.
Mm-hmm.
That's my theory.
Very plausible. Holes in that. I really don't see any holes in that. I always find her character to be funny. Always, you know what I'm saying? Okay.
Yeah. Now, the reason why, you know, I'm thinking it could be a Skrull is only because I know that in Secret Invasion, that is one of the main things in Secret Invasion. And to see Nick Fury up in the sky with sword, I'm like, okay, he's already working with Skrulls. So we know there's good and bad Skrulls in this particular Marvel Cinematic Universe. So I'm like, okay, we already know that in Spider-Man Far From Home, there was a couple of Skrulls impersonating, you know, Nick Fury and his agent. So I was like, it's very possible that she could be a Skrull working on Earth, and we'll see her later on in Secret Wars or anything related with Secret Invasion. So that's my
no, no, my no, 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 no. I think I never thought about it. I never thought about
yeah.
it.
Yeah. What did you like about this episode? Where did you have this landing?
All right. So talk a second, because my number four was what?
And it's
because of what I explained earlier. There was some episodes that like, I'm like, oh, why am I even watching this? Why is this even here? Like, there was some that I like even napped through. And then there was some that I was like, oh, this shit is so dope. So, but I love Jeffrey Wright as the Watcher. I'm a big Jeffrey Wright fan. Anything he's in, I watch.
So good.
Yeah, like the only reason I watched those Hunger Games movies was because he was in it. I was like, oh, Jeffrey Wright is a motherfucker. I'm going to see that shit. You know what I mean?
Yep.
And
my wife's like that.
Yeah, and as much as I like Gary Oldman as the commissioner, as much as I like Gary Oldman as a commissioner, and I might get killed for this, Jeffrey Wright was a better Commissioner Gordon.
Dude, you hit the nail on the head. I am 100% behind you. I thought that he killed it as a commissioner in the Batman.
Yep.
Killed it.
And I love Gary Oldman. I think Gary Oldman is top 10 best actors of all time. I will go down and say that. But I just feel like homie did a, you know, he did a better job. Like, I just was like, oh, wow. He really sold me on that shit. Like, look at this fucking Jeffrey Wright, though. You know what I mean? You know, what do you expect? You know what I mean?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I feel you. He sold me on that, too. The dynamic between him and Batman, I can't remember the guy's name. I'm thinking really quick, but it'll come to me later. But their chemistry was it was amazing. It was like, oh, gosh, I'm sold. This is the commissioner. Put him in the next movie.
Put him in the next movie, yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm glad he's not commissioner.
Yes.
So he's building up. So I'm just like, cool. So I'm like, yeah. So you could see him, the relationship between him and the Batman. So,
yeah.
So What was your number three then?
My number three is Hawkeye.
Okay.
Actually, my number three is Hawkeye. It came higher up on the list. I initially had it. It actually kind of switched places with What If, but as I was doing my breakdown, I noticed there were just so many more things I really did enjoy about Hawkeye. Mm-hmm. And I think Hawkeye was one of them series that I think the reason why I had it low on the list because I just wasn't much of a Hawkeye fan through all these MCU movies because it just didn't have a whole lot. Gotcha. So I came into here with low expectations, but the series is actually really good.
Yes, I
really enjoyed it. It was a grounded series. It was done very well. I had no idea what was going to happen next, and I loved the fact that it based a lot of this off the Matt Fraction comics. I read that comic, so everything in it, from the tracksuit mafia to him meeting with Kate Bishop, that amazing car chase scene, all that shit's out of the comics. I love that. Yeah.
And that Matt Fraction which you can buy on one bottle. It is dope, but go ahead, I'm sorry.
Yeah, no. That's why I actually wound up reading that, because I had somebody that's like, yo, if you may not really feel Hawkeye, but yo, you got to read this Matt Fraction comics. I wound up seeing that on another show. And I was like, let me check this out. It is so freaking good. So, yes, the tracksuit mafia, meeting Kate Bishop, the car scene, and Clint Barton in this type of somber mood with his life. In this particular situation, it's a little different because he's having this type of mood because Black Widow has passed away, but it's all right there. And just seeing Hawkeye fight with just his wits, his skill, and you see how much of a badass he is. Oh, this is, I had so much about this that I like. The Kingpin, Echo, play, oh man, I could go on and on, but introducing Vincent D'Onofrio, what else can I say? I mean, I watched the Netflix series. He's killing it. This guy is the Kingpin. I mean, you can't get any better than that. And I love the fact that they introduced Echo, because Echo has ties with the Kingpin. Echo has ties with Daredevil. Echo has ties with the Ronin costume. It's everything you could have going on. So,
and the Avengers. She was on the Avengers.
And the Avengers. Yes.
So,
the actress who is playing this, she crushed it. She is actually, she's actually missing a piece of her leg, and she is actually deaf. Mm-hmm. I thought, wow, Marvel, you couldn't get better than that. Actually having a deaf actress play this role, I thought was absolutely phenomenal. The person that plays Kate Bishop, Hailee Steinfeld, she's crushing it. I thought she did great. I thought she really embodied the Kate Bishop character. And then you introduce Yelena from Black Widow. Florence Pugh played her.
Yep.
Dude, what they need to do is give me a Kate Bishop and a Yelena series, because when those two were going on scene, I love their interactions so freaking much. So I don't know what else to say. That's why this one was so high on my list, as you can tell. Mm-hmm. I really did love Hawkeye.
Real quick, I just want to say something real quick. Like, you're right. Most of this came from Matt Fraction, frame for frame. Mm-hmm. The Hawkeye in the MCU, however, is not the original Hawkeye from the regular Marvel 616 universe. This Hawkeye is from the Marvel 1610, also known as the Ultimate Universe, the universe where Miles Morales came from.
Okay.
Because in our regular Marvel 616, Hawkeye doesn't kill. And in the 1610, he used to be an assassin. So he's an assassin, and he has a family in that 1610 universe. The regular Marvel 616 universe, Clint Barton is a thot. He's a hoe. He's ran through all the women in the Avengers. I'm being serious. He was married one time to Mockingbird. He's a Spider Woman's baby mama. Baby daddy. Yes, he's right. Baby daddy. Yeah. So the regular Marvel, it's kind of funny, right? You got the Marvel 616 one. He doesn't kill, but he's a thot. And the 1610, he's a family man, but he murders everybody. You know what I mean? So,
wow.
One for 1610 better because someone that he's like a bullseye. He's like bullseye.
Yeah.
Now, when he kills you, can kill you. There's a scene in Marvel 1610 where they're torturing him, and he gets loose, and he uses his fingernails to kill everybody. He takes his finger.
Wow.
Yeah, that's how badass he was. It was like, you can't let him touch anything. You can't let him touch a water bottle because he will kill you with it. So like, So yeah, so he's an assassin, you know, whereas a regular one. So I just wanted to point that out.
Yeah, that's dope.
We'll say that I like Hawkeye because he's the, in the comic book, he's the soul of the Avengers. He's always the one that's like, hey, we can't kill this person. Hey, we can't cross this line. He's always been that guy. And that's why I like them in the comic book. So,
That's what's up. Oh, man. Yeah. Thanks for those jewels, man. And knowledge, because I did not know that, that this Hawkeye and this MCU was a combination of a bunch of different Hawkeyes from different Earths.
Yes.
Did not know that.
So, highly recommend the Ultimate Avengers run by Mark Millar. It's a whole 12-issue run. The first one is really good. Captain America is like MAGA, you know. He's like MAGA. He's like a right winger. Yeah, he's MAGA. So, you know.
Oh, damn.
The Hulk is much more violent and like wild. You know, Hawkeye's a killer. Black Widow's a killer. And then they have, who else they have on the team? The only thing is they made Hank Pym a little hoe. He a little hoe.
Oh, really?
They made him a hoe and this shit. They made him like the Deep from The Boys Remind Pym.
That's funny. As soon as you said The Deep from The Boys, I was that's
when I saw I was like, oh shit, he reminds me of Hank Pym from the Ultimate Universe. Like, oh shit, you know. we're number three right now.
Number three. Yeah. Number three.
My number three was Winter Soldier. I love, because Captain America Winter Soldier is in my top five MCU movies. At one point, before Avengers Infinity War, it was number one. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
For a very long time, because the choreography was so fucking good. Yes. And then, like, I like that spy shit. Like, I really like that spy shit. Like, I like this, let's topple this government for this shit. Like, I like that shit. So, universe of the MCU, like I like it. I'm like, yeah. So I love, there was a Madripoor. Like, yes, like I love Madripoor in the comic book. So I was like, yeah, they had, you know, Sharon Carter doing little, you know, Agent Carter doing little, you know, wild shit behind their back. You don't know who to trust. Like, I like that. And the Dora Milaje came in, and it was just like, I was like, bro. And then, like you said, like John Walker, like in the comic book, He's originally a sociopath, good, but this in the series, because it makes sense. You're like, oh, that makes sense why he turned that way, you know. And then I think like is that it, in saying like there's a lot of shit that the Avengers do that's not fucking cool, you know. And no more questions done.
Yeah, you make a good point. You really make a good point. Winter Soldier was in my top two before, you know, we got to Civil War and Endgame and all those other movies, you know. But yeah, Winter Soldier was right up there with me too, because the Russo brothers, the way they handled that was so freaking phenomenal. So when I was watching Falcon Winter Soldier, I felt like I was right back there with that. Mm-hmm. So that's why I loved it too, man. I mean, you hitting all the nails on the head. I mean, this Falcon Winter Soldier is such a good movie. And the introduction, we can't forget the introduction of the original Captain America, my man,
Bradley,
Isaiah Bradley.
Bro.
Yeah.
Bro, I have the original series, man.
Really?
I have the original series. So when that shit came out and I went online, I was like, Bro, you killing me. I was like, yes, it's called Red, White, and Truth. It's called Truth. And by the phenomenal Kyle Baker. It's a six issue run. It's hard to find. I thought they was gonna reprint the trade, but they did not reprint the trade. The only trade you're gonna see selling for like 40, 50 bucks.
So, yeah.
Which I think like a bundle sale for $19.99. Like it shit will make sense if they would people first.
Mm-hmm.
because
exactly
a good bit of history to read about is the mm-hmm. Triple Nickels. Look up the Triple Nickels, and it was an African American battalion where they first used parachutes on them.
Wow.
So it makes sense that they were, they did it in real life. You know, the U.S. government did it in real life. They, we're going to try to black people. They will use it on our life. So,
Yeah.
So when they brought me in, and I was like, oh. Mm-hmm. And they got the right brother to play it, too.
Oh,
they got.
Yes.
Yeah, they got the right
because
brother.
Because he played a superhero back in the day that I forget. A Mantis, I think, what he played. I think that's what he played back in the day.
He was like,
Yeah.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah,
he was a scientist, and they had an acronym. I want to say Mantle. For some reason, I want to say Mantle. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Mantis.
Yeah. Mantis.
Yeah,
yes. Mantis.
And it was, yeah, it was acronym. Yeah. Yeah, back when superhero joints was just
was like, garbage. Yeah, it was terrible. Yo, it was like you would watch it because that was about all you was going to get. But you'd be like, "Damn, yo, they could do so much better." I loved it.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
No. I said I really appreciate that knowledge because I remember that. When they introduced Isaiah Bradley, it really just opened my eyes up. Like them introducing that part of history in American history, bringing it into that the Disney series, I thought was really good because they were bringing something that is true in American history. Before anything is ever tried out, they're going to try it on the black folks. We have tons and tons of history where that has happened. So why wouldn't the super soldier serum be tried out on black folks first? And except with this one, I mean, they really. Unfortunately, he has a very unfortunate story because he went through some hard times with that, and they really ruined his life all those years. So that's why he has so much grudge and respect. You know, it was tough, but I really enjoyed it, and I'm glad that they did bring that into this Disney series. Yeah, Falcon and the Soldier's right up there for me too.
Cool.
All right, so we're going on number two.
Yeah.
All right, so. You know, my number two is WandaVision.
Wow.
I know, man. I liked it.
Okay.
I really liked it. I mean, look, I'm not even going to say I liked it. I loved it. Love WandaVision. Okay. The chemistry between Elizabeth Olsen and Paul Bettany, I thought was amazing. I really like that she changed, like I said earlier, I really like that she changed the reality to reflect the TV shows because this is what she watched when she was younger and this is what made her feel good. So her way of grieving in order to feel good was to create what made her feel good, create an alternate reality. I love that. Like I said, I love the introduction of Monica Rambeau. The whole scene when she comes back, I thought was fire. I love Agatha Harkness played by Catherine Hall. I mean, I've already said everything I loved about this and the fact that we're getting another Disney series with Agatha, the House of Harkness. Her comedic timing was great. And yeah, that's pretty much it. And I love the introduction of Wiccan and Speed in this. I forget about that because with Isaiah Bradley, we have Eli Bradley in Falcon and Soldier. Yeah, Elijah Bradley. Yeah, so I already know they're setting up for the new Avengers. They are definitely setting up for that. So I'm excited about that. That's why I really did love WandaVision. So there I go.
Okay, that's cool. I mean, no. I mean, you know, again, I know a lot of people that thought it was the best shit ever. Like, I think I'm one of the few that was like, I'm good. But most people was like all over it. Like, and I was like, okay, whatever, you know.
Yeah, so you hated that.
And let me be honest with you. As a comic book fan, I never liked the Vision. Never.
Yeah.
That I never liked the Vision. I never liked together. Like, I was like, come on, guys. Like, come on.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm never, you're in love with a toaster. Come on, man. Like, I never liked it.
True.
I never liked the storyline where she has the kids and then mm-hmm. that one dude makes them his arms. I was like, what the fuck is y'all doing? And House of M is dope. House of M is one of the best, I'm going to say, top five mutant stories.
Yeah, that's one of the better ones. Yeah.
House of M. Had mm-hmm. 7 issues. It's a trade paperback. You can buy it in one volume. It's really fucking dope. My issue with WandaVision is just with Wanda, period, is just like in the comic book, they never really explain what her powers are. One day is probabilities, one day is magic, mm-hmm. one day is hex, one is this. One mm-hmm. day she's OP, the next day she's crying and she can't do shit. And I'm just like, you know, like, come on. And they did the same kind of like the same thing in the MCU. They did the same thing. Like, what?
Right.
I'm like, what can she do, yo? You know, and right. like, you know what I'm saying? So it's kind of like, I thought, if you haven't seen Doctor Strange at this point, I don't know what you're doing, but when she was like a big chunk of that movie, I was really disappointed. I was just like,
You know, you make a good point. I mean, she has been a comic book character that they haven't really explained what her powers are, how she got her powers, because originally she's coming in here, but then as the comic book series runs, continue through the generations, you find out that she's not quite a mutant, that she has X powers and she has this and she has that, or she's really a witch. They haven't really defined what her powers are. So that does, they start to introduce more of the witch factor in this, but then I can understand your point, because then by episode 5, they show that because she got in contact with the Mind Stone or one of those stones, that unlocked some powers that she had in her. So they really don't do, that she already had. So they don't do a great job of identifying her powers, but that's because they don't do a good job in the comics. So I feel you on that.
I'm still upset that they're no longer Magneto's kids.
Yeah, they're not in this one.
Comic book, they're like, oh no, that's not your dad. I'm like, wait, what? Like, wait, what? 30 years? Yeah. What? You just threw it in the toilet? Like,
this whole time. Her and Quicksilver.
Quicksilver, they're kids. And I was like, I was like, what? Like, what the fuck? So they're not mutants? And this is like, so now in the new, you know, if you're not reading X-Men right now, I don't know what you're doing. Should be reading X-Men now. Are you reading X-Men, bro?
Am I reading X-Men? I'm not reading X-Men right now. No.
Bro, okay. Real quick tangent.
Okay. Yeah.
The mutants are finally on top. So they have their own nation. They have their own nation. They got their own language. They got their own money. So imagine all the mutants living on an island. And when I say all of them, I'm saying every fucking mutant ever created in Marvel is in this motherfucker.
So they're on Genosha?
Krakoa. Krakoa.
Okay.
So, and Krakoa was, if you read Giant Size X-Men #1, where they first introduced Storm and all of them, that's they fight. Later on, they retcon and say the island is a mutant. And then they convince that island to become a nation. And all mutants can live on another. Bust it. It's Professor Xavier, Magneto, Apocalypse, Mr. Sinister, and who's the other one? And the Hellfire Club. They all work together. So everybody works together. Everybody works together. So it's a utopia. If you're an adult and you're not like on one of the teams, your life is good because all you do is party all day. That's all you do, because the Krakoa provides the food and all that shit. So you just turning up every day at Bar Sinister. Like, motherfuckers just turning up. Unless you're on one of the mutant teams. Because they have like 20 mutant teams now, and they all have different jobs, right? So if you're not reading the X-Men now, motherfuckers is chilling with Apocalypse. Motherfuckers is like, yo, Apocalypse, my dude, we got to go fight. Oh, I'm with you. Give me 1 second.
Really?
Yeah, it's like, all right, let's go.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, like, Yeah.
All right. I'm putting the asterisk by that because I had no idea. Yeah,
so it starts off with a series called House of X, Powers of X. You got to read that. I bought my son the hardcover for like $40. But it is so fucking worth it. It'll blow your fucking mind. I'm gonna throw out one more thing, and then that's it. I'm gonna go to the #1.
All right.
You know how they figure out the Cyclops Wolverine thing?
Yes.
They're in a poly relationship.
What?
Yeah.
Come on, yo.
Yeah. So they're like, fuck it, son. Like, I like what? It too. Like, yeah.
With Jean Grey.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Wow, yes. Yo. Yes. I cannot believe it.
Yeah, so it's just kind of like, that's a good way to talk.
You know, if anybody's coming out on top, it's Jeannie, because she getting her, you know, she getting the best of both worlds right now. She was liking that rugged Lauren, but she, you know, she knew she could, she couldn't take Logan to her mom and pop. You know, so she, you know, she's getting a little bit of both now.
Personally, I feel like Wolverine be putting it down because he has mad, like every 10 minutes, like, you got another baby. Like, oh, I didn't know. Like, you know, it's like women be mad in love with him, and I'd be like, because he does, because a lot of them end up being his enemy. You know, like Mystique. Like I was like, oh, you sticking Mystique? Like, that makes sense because she can't stand that motherfucker now.
So, yeah, that's true. Lady Deathstroke, all of them. Yeah. They never thought about that. So like, that is crazy though.
Yeah. All so right. My number two was Hawkeye. I kind of explained why earlier, so I don't have to go over that. I've always been a big fan of Hawkeye, Clint Barton. I think he's like the soul of the Avengers, and I like that he's a mixture of the two. So. So what is your number one?
My number one is Loki.
Okay.
My number one is Loki.
Same here, Loki. I think Loki is a game changer. I think it changed the whole fucking shit. Mm-hmm. I'm surprised they didn't do it sooner.
Yeah.
You know, I'm surprised they didn't do it like that. I feel like that should have been you know what? I take that back because if they did that shit first and then they released the other ones, I'd have been like, But it's just a game changer. It really explains the multiverse thing. And it introduces a lot of new characters. And I like the fact that we got to see a whole bunch of Lokis.
Yes. I'm with you on that. You're right. It is a game changer. It was a great show. It was a great, just a great series. I like the fact that I think the reason why this was so good is compared to the other ones because they were on that six formula and they tried to box everything in six episodes. Mm-hmm. Where this particular Loki series is, they already knew they were going to do a season two. So they just let the show be the show and flush stuff out. And it shows. I mean, seeing the multiple Lokis, Tom Hiddleston is killing it as Loki. I love this from the beginning. And then grabbing on to Sylvie, AKA Lady Loki, just seeing her story in this and how she has this envision on what the TVA did to her and learning about the TVA with Miss Minutes and what the TVA does. And the whole time you're thinking the TVA is right, only to unravel near the end that they're just as wrong as they could be. And the agents in the TVA were really variants that were taken. They were taken from their times. It was an amazing series. Owen Wilson is killing it. Owen Wilson is doing his over. Oh my god!
All the time, man.
He's doing his Owen Wilson thing.
Just
seeing Kang the Conqueror, Jonathan Majors at the end.
Come on, dude. I think this for me is that everybody's acting was on 10.
Yes.
It feels like everybody was like, "Damn, Tom Hiddleston killed it. I got to do my thing in this one." And then, Wilson killed me. I got to do my thing in this one. Like, you know, I'm like, everybody in here was strong. Nobody gave a weak. Even the extras didn't give weak performances. You know, like everybody was on an A game. I think with me, what it was is that we knew Loki from all the way to Endgame. Right? So this is Loki from Avengers 1. This is 2012 Loki.
Yeah,
and we still see this. You still see him evolve in this series to someone who's like, you know what? I have to be better than this.
Yeah,
you know, it ain't about me, you know. Mm-hmm. And the deepest part to me was that he fell in love with himself.
Yeah,
and I was just like, yo, that's dope because he didn't really like himself. He really hated who he was because of he's a frost giant.
He was
taken by Odin, and Odin was an abusive ass motherfucker, you know what I mean, who loved Thor more than him. And then he has this funny relationship with Thor where they're like frenemies, you know what I mean? So it's like, he didn't know who he was, he really hated himself, you know what I mean? And then, you know, then his mother dies, you know, and this is like, you know, when you look at it, you're like, damn, Loki, you've been through some shit. So, like, you know. And then, because, like, that scene where he's watching his life in front of him, like, that shit was deep. Like, and you see his, he's just like.
Yes.
Like, he doesn't even, it's just like, oh, shit, just imagine.
Yeah.
You know, and then he's in complete denial of it. Mm-hmm. You know? And then he's like, wait a second, I'm gonna die anyway. I might as well die for a particular purpose. You know?
Mm-hmm.
And but we don't, he at first he's like, I'll take over the TVA and then I'll run the universe. But then later on, he's like, nah, that's not fucking cool. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. So it is great. You're hitting all the nails on the head because I think at that particular scene, he's sitting down with Owen Wilson and Owen Wilson explaining everything to him. And then he starts going through the TVA timeline on like, you're an asshole, but but then he shows him everything in his life, like leading up to the moment where he gets crushed in the neck by Thanos. And you see Loki go from the Loki of glorious purpose. Like, yes, it's all about me. To this different type of Loki by the end of the series. And for him to change like that in a series to the point that we feel for him, he falls in love with himself. I mean, you couldn't ask for a better show. It is, if anything, I think that Marvel moving forward, when they're doing these Disney series, should look at what they did with Loki and like, this is what we have to reach for every single time. Because there was nothing about this show that wasn't good. Everything was spot on, everything.
I think what Marvel needs to start doing is, this is why I like the Disney Plus shows. The stakes doesn't have to be that high.
Yes.
Because I think everything doesn't have to be the end of the world.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's like, for example, Falcon and the Winter Soldier. I liked it because it shows you this is what the world is going through post-second snap.
Yeah.
Right? What happened? Because think about it. They never really got into it.
They didn't.
Half the world is gone, right? And now you got to rebuild. And then 5 years later, half the world comes back. And which, like, that shit, like, now we got to figure this shit the fuck out. And there's some people who are like, Thanos was right. You know?
Yeah.
And you're just like, oh, shit. Like, so I want to see shit like that. Like, how do we deal with what happened? Like, this is a big fucking change. How do we deal with that? There's no Avengers right now. Right?
That's true.
There's no Avengers. So that's true. You could tell. So that's why I like Hawkeye too. Hawkeye was dealing with the, you know, they joked about it in the little Broadway play, which I would pay to go see.
Me too.
I would pay to go see that shit. Like, I would literally pay like $85 to go see that shit. Like, you know what I mean?
Me too.
Just make sure I'm not inebriated when I go, you know, so like, but he's dealing with his PTSD. Like, you know, he has injuries, right? He has injury. Mm-hmm. He's deaf in one ear. He believes the Black Widow died because it was his fault. You know what I mean? And like he's dealing. So I wanted to see more stories that are more grounded.
Yeah.
The stakes doesn't have to be that high. Like if I don't win, the world is not going to be destroyed. And I think if they do it that way, they'll tell better stories. Mm-hmm. That's why I like Captain America and the Soldier. That's why I like the Netflix series. It wasn't like if I died, end the world. It's like, okay, I just got to beat these guys, right?
Yeah.
And that's what I would like to see. Every movie doesn't have to be, you know, if this shit happens, if I don't win, everything is fucking destroyed. Like, I don't gotta be like that, you know?
Yeah, you make a really good point because sometimes they do get into the formula like, we got to have the big explosion at the end. We got to have all this stuff going on.
Yeah.
And if we don't do this, then the world is going to end. But we all know from reading comics, not every comic book series is a world-ending situation.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, they'll have those one, two particular runs where it's something really big where you got to have multiple people coming in to help because the stakes have gotten quite high. But Spider-Man wasn't doing world-ending stuff. He was the friendly neighborhood Spider-Man.
Yeah.
So that's why I think Loki is great. And that's why Hawkeye went so much higher on my list because it was such a grounded series. So, yeah, you make great points, man.
Yeah.
So, and it's good to know that your number one was my number one, too. Yeah.
But Loki's a game changer. Loki, I think like from this moment on, everybody's gonna have to reference Loki.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're gonna be you gotta reference Loki. Well, you know, what happened with TVA, like all that stuff, you have to kind of even the stuff that's in Ms. Marvel now, you gotta reference Loki. You know, so you know, there's gonna be stuff that we have to reference. And I think Tom Hiddleston, you're right, Tom Hiddleston is the man. Like he's always killing it. He's very likable. And I like the fact that at the end of the day, he's still the Loki that we ended up liking in Thor.
Yes.
Like, he still ended up being that guy.
Mm-hmm.
I also just enjoy the different Lokis that I like from the comic book, you know, Kid Loki and all that stuff.
Kid Loki.
Yeah. I thought that was really cool.
It was a lot. I really enjoyed it. And I really can't wait to see what they're going to do with season two now that Sylvie has killed Kang, even though that Kang was the best of all the other Kangs that was out there. And he was saying it like, look, I've been trying to keep all these other Kangs at bay because, you know, look, I know what these guys are going to do. But, you know, she had a vendetta. She let that get the best of her and she killed Kang. So now the multiverse has started, or variants, or the different timelines are branching off. So I am really interested to see what is going to happen in season two, especially as soon as Loki came back. Now Tom Hiddleston doesn't even know who he is. I'm like, oh, shit.
Yeah, they're like, and I will say, this is what I liked about the ending, is that in the beginning, when he was showing, when Owen Wilson's character was showing his life, what bothered Loki the most was that everything he did was for naught. Like, it was he did all of that for nothing. That's how he felt. Even though I felt like he was important to Thor's evolution. Right.
Yeah.
And the future of Asgard, I thought he was important. But to Loki at that moment, he felt insignificant. When they kill Kang and he comes back to the TVA, they're like, who the fuck is you? And he's like, damn, I'm back. I'm insignificant. I did all this and it still didn't matter. And I was just like, wow. Like, oh, my God. Like, I was like, I didn't notice that till like the second time I watched it.
Damn, that's deep.
I don't know, because, you know, because now when you're first watching it, you're excited. But, you know, when you go back, you're like, you look at things deeply. You're like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
Like, why didn't I see that? Why didn't I fucking see that? Like, so in the beginning, when he shows him that, and at the end, he's still like, damn, it still didn't fucking matter. You know what I'm saying?
Damn, that's deep.
You know, that's he thought the reason why this show is deep is because, remember in Avengers 1, when when they're in Europe and he's talking to the humans. He's like, I'm better than y'all. I'm superior. I know more. So you should bow down to me. You're my lesser. You know, so Loki, he realizes you're not the top of the food chain, bro. You're not. You're at the bottom. Matter of fact, over here, we keep Infinity Stones as paper holders.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's just like, oh, shit. Wait a second. What? Like, yeah. This is a cosmic cube. That's like, what the fuck is a cosmic? They're like, I was like, what the hell is a cosmic cube? Don't drop that. He's like, oh, this? I got 10 of them. You know, and it's just like, dude, not a cosmic food chain, bro. Like, that shit'll fuck you up, man.
Yeah, that was so true. Cause he was looking in the drawer and saw all those infinities in the drawer. He was like, what the hell?
Yo, he's like, you know, like, you know, and you're just like, yo, like, you're not a top of the food chain, bro.
Yeah, damn, you know, good point.
You know, and I was like, I felt that shit because that shit made me question what the fuck is my purpose? Like, it makes you question your existence. But at the same time, what I did like is that the reason why Sylvia was so upset was because she was taken away from her family.
Yeah,
you know, what she loved, what she valued the most. And I think that that's what the difference between him and Thor is, that Thor values his family and Loki didn't. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you know, which kind of gets talked to. It's important is love. Like, that's
love.
That's important. That's what we're here for. Mm-hmm. You know, and he realized he didn't even love himself.
Yeah. Yeah. Make a good point.
You know what I'm saying?
Good point, man.
You know, Thor loved them regardless. You know, Thor, like, you still my brother. As long as we saw Thor, too, like, you my brother. You know, we're gonna have our time, but I love you, my brother. And that shit, that's heavy, man.
Yeah,
that's heavy. You know,
no, you make a good point, because look, we know Loki tried to kill Thor multiple times.
Yeah,
yep. But because he was family, he still loved his brother, though. That's deep. That's true. That's so true.
Yeah.
So I mean, cool. You really make some great points, man. Okay. Great
thanks,
points,
man. Thanks, man. I'm a big nerd. I'm a big fucking nerd.
Hey, man. Me too.
So, where can people find you online? First of all, talk about your podcast, which if you paid attention to This Is It, I'm behind. I'm like 2 months behind on This Is It podcast, which is on YouTube. But they put out mad context. Sometimes I want to throw a spear at the TV, though. I'm not gonna lie. I'll be like, yo, son, this bullshit. I think I can't remember which one, when I turned this shit off, like, fuck this shit. I ain't watching this shit no more. Fuck that motherfucker. He ain't coming on my show. And then the next day, I was like, nah, that was a good point, though. I can't remember which one it was. It wasn't you. It wasn't you. It was your boys. I was like, I
got one of my boys.
Yeah, I'm like, I was like, this shit out that motherfucker. Like, yeah. Turn that shit off. I turned I turned the whole TV off. Like, click.
Oh, damn. Yeah,
I wish I knew which video that was, but look, I can imagine. I can imagine.
You guys got mad joints, so I gotta. Yeah. I probably got to go back and watch each one and be like, oh, this is the one, you know.
Yeah. So, like, yes, but, yo, yeah, thank you, man. So you can find This Is It podcast on YouTube. Just search that and we'll come up. We definitely have a lot of content. Like Danny said, we do a lot of reviews and reactions to all the stuff that's currently out right now. The Boys, Miss Marvel. We're about to do a Stranger Things review. We're about to do that. And Obi-Wan is out. I mean, so it's a lot of content. And yes, also we do reviews to movies as well. If I have some time, I'm going to try to do a review to Thor. So, yeah, definitely check that out. And also, to let everybody know, you can find me on Instagram at CoreyRoy_CoreyRoy_. That's you can find me. And look, just I'm so happy to be on this show, man, Danny, man. I really appreciate the love, brother.
No doubt, man. Hey, look, man, I didn't, like I said, I stumbled. I don't even know how I stumbled upon you. I was like, oh shit, I know this guy. And then I watched the reaction videos and I was like, yeah, this that same dude. Like, I know him. You know what I'm saying? It was like, so yeah. And let me say this, like, you really, because I know a lot of people start off with reaction videos and they move into reviews, and you really went into that. Like, you was like first respond, react because of the pandemic. Because the pandemic really, like, because I think 1 year Marvel didn't put shit out.
Yeah. So they didn't have nothing.
So yep.
Yeah, it's been a fun ride, and I'm really enjoying it, and I'm glad to just have somebody else to geek out with, you know, because a lot of times. I'm going to go a little bit off tangent, but when I was growing up in my town, there just wasn't a lot of people to geek out with. And if I did, I just didn't know who they were. So okay. I didn't have a comic book store around my way. So a lot of times I was going to the local 7-Eleven and just picking up what they had. So now that I'm at this age where I can really geek out and get into a community of folks that love the stuff that I love and geek out about it, I'm all here for it, brother.
Got you. That's dope, man. So I'm gonna put everything in the show notes so you don't have to pause or rewind to get his contact information. So you please support, check it out, subscribe, watch. And they do. You guys do every episode. You don't just do.
Yes, we do every episode.
You do every episode. So it's not like you wait to the end. So they'll tell you. And again, they do deep dives into it. Highly recommend it. Great quality. So, all right, everybody. Peace.
Peace.
All right. Thank you once again for listening to yet another episode of Where My Killer Tape At. I really appreciate y'all. If you want to book me for anything, a discussion, to be on your podcast, to do a workshop, let me know. You can just go to my website, omisbench.com, and you find all my contact information there. If you want to continue the discussion online on Instagram or Twitter, you can always use the hashtag Where My Killer Tape At, killer spelled K-I-L-L-A. And if you just want to holler at me, you can check me on my Twitters at DanTresOmi, DanTresOmi. Also, we have an official Twitter for the show, which is Omi's Podcast, OMIS Podcast. And you can definitely hit me up there if you want. Again, I appreciate y'all. In my link, you can also buy a coffee mug, right? That helps take care of the show, because I definitely need the money. So once again, be safe. I'm check y'all out the next episode. Word.